If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Grassroots Radio with Don and G.
All right. We're back.
Again.
Online this time, coming at you, Grassroots Radio Show with Don and Jim. So how was your weekend, Jim?
It was just fine.
It was just fine?
Apparently didn't suck as bad as yours, but we're not going to get into
that. We're going to talk about something other than that. We're on Grassroots Radio, and actually, since we don't have a news feed, we're going to go ahead and go right to the Daily Show for our news feed, which is actually a pretty interesting topic because it talks about how sucky the GOP field looks right now. So,
well, now this is a little bit on the older side. It's not brand new.
No, it's not, but I think it still fits the bill because I think they did a poll where, you know, 70% of Americans still feel that the pool of people that are running in the race now just suck.
Yeah, either that or they don't even know who they are.
Yeah, here we go. Here's the Daily Show.
That's a new open I'm going to do every show. Because it's incredibly stupid. Welcome to the Daily Show. My name is Jon Stewart. Guest tonight, Brian Christian, author of a new book on the difference that separates computers and humans. I'll give you a hint. It's not testicles. Maybe that's just because my MacBook has truck nuts on it. All right. Let's begin tonight with another look at the slim pickings among Republican contenders for the White House in our second installment of Indecision 2012, Indecision Edition. I just realized how incredibly redundant that was. I said the name exactly of what we were doing, and then we ran the thing that said the name. And then I just pointed that out. I really hope you fast-forwarded through that. With Election Day 2012 just 609 days away, The GOP is beginning the process of choosing its nominee. Among the first steps, last night's candidate forum sponsored by Iowa's Faith and Freedom Coalition. All right, here comes the boilerplate Judeo-Christian values spiel.
We are concerned that a country that was founded on European-style Christian moral values has now become a multicultural haven for every weird and kinky lifestyle.
Did not see that coming. You don't often hear multiculturalism denounced with such a thick, let's say, hairpiece. So let's see the lineup. Five Republicans showed up. Who do they got? Well, they got the guy from the 90s. They got the guy from the aughts.
It can be done.
Don't know who that is. Love his pizza. And there he is, Mr. Excitement, Tim Pawlenty.
You are looking at somebody who is the conservative governor of the state of McCarthy, Mondale, Humphrey, Wellstone, and now United States Senator Al Franken. As Frank Sinatra would sing about New York, if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere.
Wow. Wow. Couldn't even go with a song that's about Minnesota, huh? You know, something like... Minnesota, where the wind comes whipping down the... Gary, Minnesota, Gary, Minnesota. And the Minnesota lineman. I'm to Minnesota for this shirt. All right, there aren't any Minnesota songs. With a mere 20 months until the 2012 election, the Big Tent Republican Party finds itself still searching for a ringmaster.
There's no clear favorite for the Republican presidential nomination in 2012.
And right now, it's a comparatively weak field.
There are a lot of flawed candidates.
We're seeing no clear front runner.
Only five flawed or poorly known candidates look ready to take the plunge.
Weak field! In fact, right now, the Republican's strongest contender is still Hillary Clinton with a fake mustache. My name is Fillory Blinton.
All right, Fillory Blinton. She looked pretty hot with that mustache.
Yeah.
Not.
I met her before.
Yeah.
According to John Stewart, that is the best we can do is Fillory Blinton.
Fillory Blinton, Hillary with a mustache. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we did lose, and this is kind of a good segue into our conversation about the candidates, is that we had some important news today about two of them.
It broke my heart.
Oh, I know. He was the guy that I liked, one of them.
I was talking about Trump.
You're talking about Trump? I was talking about Huckabee.
That didn't break my heart.
I kind of like Huckabee.
He could have done the country some service and got in there and at least got the debate going and making everybody, give everybody something more to talk about. But then again, on the other hand, if there's no top name people, the worst thing that's going to happen to us is if we get Mitt Romney. How do you say his name?
Mitt Romney.
And then we'll have just basically Obama 2.0.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's like the Republican version of...
Sure.
What's the difference
except
white?
He's white. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say.
He's got nicer hair.
It is hair. Well, it combs with a different comb.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and again, Obama used his... healthcare plan in Massachusetts as his guide, I guess, for Obamacare.
Right. It's like I've said for a long time that, there would not have been any Tea Partying going on if Mitt Romney would have been the president in 2008, and we would have still had healthcare.
Yeah.
We still would have had it because all the Democrats would have just worked with Mitt Romney and would have had it, and then all the Republicans say, well, we can't say anything about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't have no Tea Partying going on because of him.
That's right. I mean, he's a conservative,
and
right?
And he's white.
No.
Forget that part.
Well, I'm sorry. I kind of lost my train of thought. So Donald Trump also announced.
He's out of there.
You're fired.
Yeah. Obama's thinking, being pretty cocky today about that. You know, he's like, I kicked his butt.
That's right. Yeah. Ask about my birth certificate
yeah,
again.
Smackdown. I go kill Osama bin Laden, by gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's your birth certificate and a bullet for bin Laden.
And a bullet for bin Laden. I'm telling you. No, it was, not a, didn't hurt my, hurt me at all to see him out of the race. I mean, I gave him props for being controversial enough to challenge Obama and really call him on a lot of the things that he talks about. But, again, I think he's just a guy, a loudmouth and looking in search of a microphone.
Right. He kind of likes to, you know, to run what the media is talking about.
Right. He likes to trump up Trump.
Yeah.
I think what he does. Anything that's about him, I think he would have made a really good king is what I think he would have made.
Yeah. He, for ego, some reason. Ego for president.
Ego for president.
I don't know. Now he might have a bigger ego than Obama. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Like there's a way to measure them or put them side by side.
Clash of egos.
Clash of egos. Yeah.
Yeah. And the one that was you were alluding to at the beginning was on Saturday when Mike Huckabee said, "Screw that! I'm gonna stick right here with the Fox News Network and cable news network." And
the pay was too good.
$500,000 a year, and I don't have to try to fix this mess.
I don't have to shake babies and kiss any hands.
Yeah, I can be just like all the people on blogs, just talk a lot and pretend I would do this.
Right, right, and complain a lot. Yeah,
right.
Well, it seems like we're doing a lot, awful lot of complaining, but not actually getting any work done.
Well, I'm gonna pick on Mike Huckabee just a little bit here.
Oh, you know,
all this whining that he's been doing, and he was in a position to, most people were considering him to be the front runner if he was going to get into this. And, you know, I think he had a chance to actually be the one person who might could, you know, nobody could say that he wasn't a viable candidate this time around. He could have went in there, and he has the personality, you know, people like him from all over the political spectrum, that he could have actually done something about Obama. The thing is he chose not to. So it kind of makes me think that maybe he is in it for himself. He's a lot of talk. Because if he was a true patriot, that he would have stepped up to do this because it was the right thing to do.
Right. Well, and let's be fair. I mean, he's been in this for a while. He's been in the hunt, not just the Obama campaign. But, I mean, I think that you bring up a good point in the sense that, you know, I think most people see that that Obama is the wrong guy for the job.
Right.
And if with the organization that he has behind him, with a lot of the name recognition that comes along with Huckabee. I mean, he ran a national race. He did really good in the Republican primary, so he's a very well-known candidate. That being said, I mean, I think that he has a lot of things that would have appealed to a lot on the right. And I think that he had a good shot. I wanted to kind of go into the what's going to happen in 2012 with the financing, which is, I think, one of the big things that has made politics the corrupt machine that it is that the Republicans are already announcing their plans of raising outstanding, record-breaking numbers of cash this time around. So whomever they pick as their front runner or their leader is going to have monstrous cash reserves.
Well, they might be doing that because, you know, they're saying Obama's going to raise $1 billion. So that's probably more than...
Well, I mean, it's only trending that way. I think, what did he raise? $800 million? He turned down public finance campaign and decided to go outside. Interesting, when he was complaining about, you know, money being the problem, but then turned around and did the exact opposite and said, no, that's all right. I'll use private funds and raise $800 million. Where compared to John McCain's $80 million, because he chose to go with a public financed option, which has serious spending constraints assigned to it. So I think it's again just atypical of Obama say one thing, do something else type approach. But I think that you know, the Republicans see that it's going to take a lot of money to beat him based off of that $1 billion line in the sand that he drew as far as what his campaign's already predicting they're going to raise. So they came up with this new, what is it called, a super PAC? Super PAC?
You were telling me about it.
It's dubbed the Republican Super PAC is what it is. And, Super PAC.
Super bad.
Super bad. Well, anyway, what this Super PAC does is it's just an independent expenditure group. And you know, those that aren't familiar with campaigns, independent expenditure groups are ways to bypass the federal limits or state limits too. So that they're supposed to be non-coordinated efforts, where independent groups can spend up to however much they want. As long as it's not tied to a coordinated effort, which I don't see how they're going to say it's not coordinated, but this whole super fund is going to be used for state, federal, and the presidential candidates across the nation. So it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Well, maybe they feel like they have to do something to kind of counterbalance all this money that Obama's going to raise, you know, George Soros and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Well,
pumping money into these other expenditures and all that sort of stuff. I don't know that he's doing that, but I just, you know, I know that he has a lot of money and he don't want Barack Obama to lose, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, I'm not a fan of the, I guess, of the corruptness that's going to ensue, that's going to come with that money, because for every dollar that's contributed, I mean, from these.
Do you think they're going to be more corrupt than they are now?
Is it possible?
Yeah, I was like, really?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I don't know how they could get more corrupt, but again.
Can they tell more lies? Can they tell more lies than they told before?
Well, there's lies that they haven't been said yet, but we haven't landed on Mars yet.
They can only speak one time.
Uranus.
Yeah, okay. You just had to get to that 12-year-old,
dude. Well, yeah, I did, yeah, actually. Well, hey, look, we've hit our first break. You're listening to Grassroots Radio with Don and Jim, and we'll be right back after this.
Take this.
All right, and we're back.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. That was a quick break. So we left the break talking about the Super PAC. You
know, super bad, super PAC.
Super bad, super PAC. Superstar. But and the candidates that are the current field that we have out there, and the two that just left. But
well, you know, I have to disagree. I think that we actually have at least one person I'm kind of, you know, getting into a little bit is this Herman Cain guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not, he's never been elected to.
He was the CEO of Godfather's, right?
Right. Okay. Godfather's Pizza. And okay. So he knows how to make a good pizza.
But he's ran for was it the Senate seat? Okay.
Right. But he lost in the primary, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And back, you know, several years ago. But anyway, he's, you know, he's 65 years old. He's got like 40 years experience in business. And he has an ability to, he has the fire in the belly going for him, which none of the other candidates that I see have that.
Right.
And he's a successful businessman.
Right.
And he's not arrogant like Trump. You know, I'm sure he has somewhat of an ego, but if you got to have an ego to run for president of the United States. But I think he's I'm kind of watching him.
Well, now, is he the one that was the former Fed chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Kansas City, yes.
Kansas City, okay.
Yeah.
I just remember the somebody from Campaign for Liberty, one of the Ron Paul at least.
Yeah, oh, were, yeah, yeah. It was terrible.
Beating him up about that.
Right. But, of course, these same people were saying it. Mike Huckabee was a member of CFR or that were taking over the world type.
Oh, okay.
One world.
I've got their ring at home. I just, yeah. The evil.
You know, they'll say anything. They will do whatever they can on every opportunity to tear down everybody else except
for Ron Paul, who's been in office since Carter. And hasn't done anything. So
done a damn.
Yeah,
thing.
He's voted no a lot of times, yeah.
But he's a founding father who's still alive.
Is he really?
That's what they told me.
So that key on Ben Franklin's kite, that was to his apartment. Is that what that was?
Right.
So,
yeah, it wasn't to mine.
It wasn't yours. It was Ron. Well, Ron Paul's a lot older than you are.
Yeah,
you just got a lot more mileage than he does.
Been around a block a few
times. Yeah, and you got a little bit more wear and tear. You need to go into the shop a lot more, and your knee is killing you. So that's evidence right there.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, Herman Cain, he seems like I honestly haven't heard him speak more than once. I think that he was at one of the Southern CPAC conferences or something like that, where he gave a pretty decent speech. I was pretty impressed.
Did you watch the debate?
I did not watch the debate. No,
he won that debate pretty handily.
Yeah.
Of the other ones that were on there. Now it seems like all the big names are kind of dropping like flies, so that may be the crop right there.
Well, and you know, Newt Gingrich, he announced his campaign again on Twitter, apparently, which was like a big deal to some people.
Yeah,
and,
so, hey, I'm an old guy and I can do Twitter.
Hey, my campaign staff did this for me. Yeah, I'm a great guy.
I can get on this Twitter machine.
This Twitter machine. The internet's a series of tubes.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was some interview on CNN where he was bashing Paul Ryan's budget plan and saying that was just, you know.
Yeah, and then he was talking about how, you know, the mandate, you know, the healthcare mandate.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, it's a great. I think it's what we need is the help. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, somebody's
this is Don being facetious, by the way.
Yeah, somebody's going to take that and clip it and make it that you said that.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah. That's exactly what they're going to do. That's the way it works, right? They're going to just take this little thing right out of context and you know, oh, this is Don James endorsing it. Well, this is Don James also talking about, since we brought up healthcare, I found an article. I'm just trying to bring it up here, so bear with me. Okay, yeah. There was additional 204 new waivers that was approved by the Democrats for the healthcare.
Well, what we're going to find out is this is basically just a tax on independents and Republicans.
Okay. Well, the 204 new waivers, but it brings the total of waivers to 1,372 waivers for the Obamacare.
That's groups.
That's
and companies, right?
Right. Well, actually, and it even goes in further a little bit to mine that data a little bit more. But of the participants receiving waivers, more than half, over 1.5 million, are in union plans.
Woohoo!
Ding, 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 ding. There's an alarm going off right there. Wait a second. You know, there's 3.1 million people that are actually...
Yeah, unions were the ones helping push it.
Right. Well, of course. They need everybody else on the planet.
We want you to pay these taxes, not us.
Yeah, well, we're going to be exempt from this crappy plan. I don't want that same health care coverage. I want a good health care coverage.
We have a good job. Why are you bothering us? We have insurance. All those poor people out there without insurance, you need to take care of them and get those other people that, you know, aren't in unions.
Yeah, and get the non-union guys over there paying for it. Exactly.
Right. That's a brilliant plan.
Guarantee our jobs, too, by the way. And, yeah, I'm trying to think of some other crappy things that the union guys say. But, I don't know. We could do a whole show on the unions and what we don't like about them. But,
let's not.
Let's don't do that. Let's don't give them credit for anything. Let's talk about the debt limit.
We hit it.
We hit it. Ouch. I hit my head on the debt limit. The ceiling, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, we actually, apparently, the world's still intact. Or at least the United States is. Has it exploded or imploded?
Yeah, the whole world was supposed to come, you know, to a screeching halt. Banks were supposed to fold up. All businesses go out, go down, try to buy a loaf of bread. All stores are closed. You know, it was just going to be the end of the world.
I'm waiting for the Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
The debt limit. The day after the debt limit. You said, like, the day after tomorrow, you know. I don't know. There's going to be people starving in the streets and, I don't know, stuff burning, houses burning. So, yeah, that's coming out, in a world where no debt is, or the no debt ceiling is allowed.
Yeah, and America defaults on their, on her debts, and China just comes in, walks in, and Taliban.
Oh, yeah.
All just come in. Just
China, Taliban, that's awesome. Yeah. And Hugo Chavez down there in Colombia. Venezuela, excuse me. Venezuela.
What was that, a Michelle Bachmann moment or something?
It was. I read another thing about the trade agreements, and I had Colombia on my mind, but Colombia Colombia Trans America. No, Colombia and Panama, and I'm trying to think of the other.
Did you hear where Michelle Bachmann was up there, and I think it was New Hampshire, and she said that, this is the state where they, you know, in a speech.
Where the first shot was fired in the Revolutionary War. Yeah. I heard she did that in Montana, too. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. She'll go to Hawaii and talk about how this is, you know, bombed us.
The Germans bombed us. I thought it was the, you know, civil rights movement started here in Hawaii, you know. I don't know. Yeah, that would be awesome. She's running for, she's thinking about running for president. I got an email, I get just tons of these stupid emails, but, from both sides, believe it or not. And she was saying, do you like your field of candidates? And here's this link to this, poll or whatever, but,
she wanted you to vote for her.
It seems like she wanted to drum up support for herself, so.
Yeah.
But, I kind of want to get back to the debt because, something interesting is happening there where, I guess the federal government is borrowing from the federal government to help pay the debt ceiling or help pay the, to stem off the effects of the debt ceiling instead of borrowing more money from China or other countries or other creditors. What they're doing is they're borrowing from their own federal retirement funds. So
who's doing this?
What's his name? McGeithner, the tax dodger, Timothy Geithner.
McGeithner.
McGruber, McGeithner, same thing. Basically they're going to start borrowing from, let's see what it says. Tim Geithner has informed members of Congress that with the U.S. government reaching its $14.3 trillion debt ceiling Monday, his department will have to turn to a string of last resort measures that will keep the government paying its bills. And he goes into saying that they're going to go ahead and borrow or raid these retirement plans. They'll make them whole after this is all done, but they're going to go ahead and borrow from the federal government employees' retirement plans.
My wife's going to be tickled about that.
Well, she'll get her check.
Yeah, it may be an IOU written on it.
Yeah, on the back of a bubblegum wrapper, but hey, she's going to get a check.
Yeah, because we know Timothy Geithner's good for it.
He's good for it. Yeah. Well, Obama will pay your mortgage if you can't pay it, too.
Well, he's supposed to be giving us, anyway.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, we got to take a quick break here. Look at the time.
Oh my gosh.
OMG. And let me get this thing queued up so we're good to go.
Yeah. Are we recording this?
And we'll be right back after this quick break. You're listening to Don and Jim on the Grassroots Radio Show. We'll be right back. You're back. It's Don and Jim on Grassroots Radio. I had to take a quick break. And
we barely made it back from the bathroom time.
We were having too good of a time at, you know.
Well, you might have been in the bathroom, but, you know.
Well, not in the bathroom. I said we were just having a good time.
Yeah, we weren't.
Chatting it up. We weren't using the bathroom.
Just kidding. That was a joke.
All right. So what were we talking about when we went on a break? It was the debt ceiling and Geithner. What it was.
And we trust him.
He's a good guy. I mean, he can't pay his taxes like everybody else, but hey.
It wasn't his fault. He used TurboTax. They suck.
Yeah.
They do.
Do they really?
Yeah, because they wrote, they have a YouTube out there bashing FairTax, so you know we can't.
Oh, okay. So if they bash FairTax, then yes, we're going to go ahead and bash them back.
Yeah, they suck.
Okay, they do suck.
TurboTax sucks.
There you go. You heard it right here on the Don and Jim Show.
on TPRLive.com.
Okay. Actually, I was looking at commercial appeal. I was just kind of surfing some of the articles that we were reading today, and Obama visited the great city of Memphis today.
That's right. He did. Yes. He went to Booker T. Washington commencement
right.
and gave a speech.
That's pretty interesting. I was getting a pretty good contrast of the two, of Obama and Booker T. Washington, after our show this Saturday
right.
with Charles. Smart guy.
Difference.
Oh, a totally different guy. I mean, Booker T. Washington was a former slave that pulled himself up by his bootstraps, literally. And, I mean, became a success.
Literally by his bootstraps.
Oh, yeah. Well, did he have boots? Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway.
You said literally.
Sorry. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps, not literally. Figuratively. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Figuratively by his bootstraps. He could have had boots. I don't know. I don't know if they had straps back then.
Oh, shut up.
Anyway, somebody that was a good advocate of, the African Americans. I even hate saying that word, but the black folks. Doing for themselves and being given opportunities, the same opportunities, and then being seen as the same as anybody else. And I think even Dr. Martin Luther King believed that too, is that they want to be treated as a man,
right.
not a black man. And it just seems like, for President Obama, who I think buys into all the leftist,
tripe,
that, it was interesting that he gave that speech at Booker T. Washington.
Yeah, those two guys, if there was a debate, they would not be on the same side of the debate.
No, they wouldn't.
They would be, like, going off on each other.
Yes.
Because they're, like, one's way to the left and one's way to the right.
I don't know if he's way to the right, but...
Well, of course,
in comparison to him, he'd be a right-wing extremist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, anyhow, I did get stuck in traffic today on 240.
Well, good for you. I worked hard to avoid all that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to avoid it.
I listened, and they said they were going to go a certain way, and I just went the other way.
Okay.
It's called common sense. But anyway.
Is that what it is? Oh, ouch. Ouch. Okay.
Anyway, we got this picture of his airplane landing.
That's pretty cool looking plane.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's leaving it.
I hear it's nice.
That looks like he's taking off, not landing.
I really wouldn't.
Yeah, that's probably a better picture to have. He's finally gone. He's gone. Gone. All right.
Well, he was supposed to go visit the, the flooded out areas too. And,
that was quick.
Some photo ops and stuff. I don't know whether he did or not, but, he's supposed to go down there and stand beside somebody with their waterlogged sofa and talk about how...
Here's your check.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know if he got to that point or not, but it was supposed to be on his agenda. Then he was going to fly back to wherever the heck,
Not a fundraiser? Not off to a fundraiser in New York or, L.A.?
I have no idea.
Okay. I don't keep a schedule either,
and,
so.
Donald Trump would say he's going to fly back to Kenya or something.
Fly to Hawaii to just get another copy of that fake birth certificate
a little bit more.
Or, maybe go visit. And this is another thing. I'm sorry. I was kind of thinking about this because the young lady that I had to drive this weekend, and again, this is a personal story.
Yeah,
but
y'all don't know anything about
anyhow,
this, so just pretend you know.
She's former Navy. Her spouse just left on deployment on a ship, but one of their friends is on the Carl Vinson, which completely is in communication blackout right now because they're not pulling to any ports right now because of the operational security
debacle.
Debacle. Yeah, I was going to say something else dumb.
Yeah. I know what you're talking
about. Yes, ASSs. But basically, first of all, they identified SEAL Team 6, which I thought was, and I even hate saying it, the SEALs, the SEAL team that was involved in this operation. So now not only are the SEALs a target for anybody, but this specific team was the one that
they told them where they were based out of and
right.
stuff like that.
Well, then they also said the ship that was that performed this. So now that ship is a target. Anybody on that ship is going to be a target. The mayor of Virginia Beach, Virginia wanted to throw a parade for this group of men that was, and finally, I think the Navy just told him to shut up. I mean, if you don't want anything, you might as well go ahead you know, paint targets on them. I think Target was going to put their logo on a shirt and hand it out to these guys. You know, it says just, you know, insert bullet here. But it's insane that this, and I guess it's the administration that's in office now not having any real understanding of protecting our troops or even considering that. It was all political. To let's get Obama this publicity. And,
yeah, because Trump's on my ass. I got to do something
that's
back.
That's right. Everybody else be damned.
Yeah.
So the men and women that served our, in this operation are now potentially targets because of this operational security leak. So
it wasn't a leak. They put the information out there and wasn't a
Look,
leak.
Yeah, you know, it's a leak. If it was a full blown, you know, fire hose and pictures of each of these guys, you know, with their handles, you know, of the different team members, and then you know here's the addresses write them an email or go visit their home. Here's their home phone number.
The term leak makes it sound like somebody kind of let it out there on the slide. I mean, they were talking about this, you know, wide open and, you know, just out in the media.
Right. But I'm wondering if the media even thought to question it. You know, whether they said, okay, well, do we really want to go this?
No, they just wanted to make Obama look good.
Sure, because of the Geraldo Rivera moment where he was in the Persian Gulf, actually in Iraq, saying, hey, I'm embedded with these troops, and we're located at this grid coordinate right here. We're getting ready to attack that grid coordinate over here.
We're standing by this tree.
yeah, this tree. Yeah, there's only two trees in Iraq anyway. Right. You know, so, But yeah, and we're getting ready to attack you guys.
Not the tall one.
Yeah, not the tall one. This one that's got figs on it. That's the one. Oh, okay. And, but I don't know. I think back to the days of World War II where, not that I lived during those time. I know, Jim, you probably remember.
I remember it all.
I remember it well.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like the press wanted to be more responsible in reporting what was going on and not reporting certain things. So, I don't know. Maybe it's always just the typical times were better back then.
Like the old white people say, it was, you know, things were better back in the early 60s.
Sure.
Especially in Mississippi.
Mississippi. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, okay. I guess that's their point of view, too. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to touch on the OPSEC stuff and the story that was told to me. And I'm sure that we're going to get some pretty cool pictures certain person gets back from their certain thing wherever they were at. But it'll be pretty cool, I hope.
All right, we'll wait and see.
Well, we shall see. What else is going on? You talked about Herman Cain. You really liked Herman Cain.
Yeah, I'm liking him because he's, you know.
Where does he stand on the fair tax?
Well, we all know he is a supporter of the fair tax. And see, he says it with, you know, in his first term.
With vigor.
With vigor. Yeah. And he is able to beat back the lies coming out of the right about it. So, you know, like that's what he did in the debate, you know, that Wallace guy or whoever the moderator was from Fox News to start, you know, quoting all these, saying what the economists are apparently saying and experts are saying that the fair tax is a bad idea. And Cain says, well, with all due respect, you know,
your experts don't know squat.
Yeah, that's basically what he said. They're dead wrong, you know. And then he just went into his little spiel for it. But
we got to get that for one of those shows, for one of our shows. We got to get that audio. So,
what, you're dead wrong?
No, just him first with the interviewer, you know, going into these points and whatever, and then have Herman Cain's response. I think that would be good to have for our show.
Well, that was a perfect thing for South Carolina because South Carolina is big with the fair tax.
Yeah, so is Georgia.
Yeah, well.
Tennessee needs to be, too.
Yeah, but South Carolina picks the Republican nominee. Just know it. Whoever comes out of South Carolina in the primaries, that's the nominee.
Okay. So John McCain was the.
Yeah. And he beat Mike Huckabee by like 3 percentage points.
Oh, in South Carolina.
Fred Thompson had not been in the race, if that joker just not got into it, Mike Huckabee would have ran against Barack Obama.
Just imagine. I mean,
it wouldn't have took much and Obama would have lost.
I know some of the reasons why you were not thrilled with Huckabee, but I just really feel You know, he would have been, he's actually a really good candidate to run against him.
No, he would, he, I think, you know, he has his flaws, but, you know, we all do. But I think in the long run, I mean, I have one or two.
Oh, wait. I think you have more than me. I thought I was wrong, but I was really right.
I think that if you weigh it out in the long run, even if he did do some things that weren't, you know, that conservative, if he could have got the fair tax enacted, that would have wiped out a whole lot of socialism, a whole lot of social engineering, and it would have
created jobs.
Yeah,
I'm gonna boost the economy.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
It would have done so much good for the country. I think it probably would have outweighed anything that he might have done on the other end.
People look at Reagan with rose-colored glasses too as the perfect conservative. But I mean, he also, you know,
yeah, when he was a governor of California, he was probably as liberal as Mike Huckabee ever was.
Sure, but not only that. I mean, he's one of them that that gave amnesty to illegal aliens too. You're right. I mean, no candidate is perfect, but still, I think that you have to do the
right. You have to sit there and weigh it out.
Sure.
You know, which one is going to do the most good overall? None of them are going to go up there and just be perfect. The right is going to be mad at whoever they elect. And
the left is.
Do what?
The left is going to be mad, right?
No, the right.
Right. You're right.
Whatever.
That's true.
They can't, you know, you can't govern the way the far, far right thinks.
You're right.
Both
left and right. I think they're both out there.
So you can't be way over there, but you need somebody who understands the right.
Oh, sure.
But you have to make things happen. And so, anyway.
All right. Well, hey, we got to take another break. You're listening to Don and Jim on Grassroots Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back right after this. We're back.
Yes, we are.
Don and Jim. You're listening to Don and Jim on Grassroots Radio. When we went out to our break, we were talking about... What were we talking about? I'll tell you
Huckabee and Kane.
We were talking about Huckabee and Kane. We were talking about the presidential candidates.
So, do you think... who do you think Mike Huckabee is going to endorse? Do you got any idea?
I have no clue.
You think it'll be Daniels or Pawlenty? Because, you know, he's going to go with somebody who was a governor and, you know, a political type person.
Right. Not Herman Cain.
And Herman Cain endorsed Mitt Romney last time around.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I'll tell you, what was up with that?
But wait a second. And then you would have, oh, my goodness. That holds a lot of...
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Yeah, that was stupid of Kane to do that. Yeah. And I think it ticked off a lot of fair tax advocates because Mitt Romney is the, you know... the anti-fair tax guy. And we all can't stand that dork.
No. And I mean, just... And not a conservative either. So I'm just really surprised that...
Well, he was going after the businessman mentality, that going for him for that. And there was a... Anyway, I just don't see.
I hear that a lot, though. But I mean, I don't see the business. Where was the businessman mentality when he was the governor of Massachusetts?
Oh yeah,
and he created that debacle up there for that healthcare.
Yeah, RomneyCare, which is like the forerunner to Obamacare.
Right. I just don't understand.
He laid the groundwork for it.
Right. So I don't know, that argument just doesn't fly with me sometimes. I mean,
it don't fly with me either. But yeah. My point is that I think Mike Huckabee is going to be. A candy ass about it and not endorse Herman Cain. And, I just think that's a bad move on his part. I think what I'm trying to get at is I think Mike Huckabee is more thinking about one-upmanship, getting back at people. I'm thinking that's the route he's going to go.
Well, I'll say it again. I'm disappointed that he's dropping out of the race. I really thought he was a good contender. I thought he was the guy that would won it.
Well, there's nothing saying he can't jump back into the race later on if
that's
just
possible. I guess
if the field keeps looking like it's going to suck.
Yeah, well, Newt Gingrich doesn't blow up my skirt either. I think he's just.
Oh man, he's just. Yeah, no, we don't need to go there.
Yeah, I don't think we need that either. But, hey, before we go, I wanted to talk about this book that I read over the weekend. I haven't read it completely yet.
I'm looking at it. It looks like you get about 5 pages into it.
No, that's about... I'm about a fifth of the way through. But I'm reading this book called The Big Short, and the short-selling stocks is probably why they wrote this about this. But, again, I guess the reason why it's called The Big Short was because of the subprime... debacle that we were in, and that a lot of the big money people were betting on it to fail because, believe it or not, the subprime mortgage lending crap failed once before in the 90s and was reborn again in the 2000s, around 2004, 2005. And this is what caused the huge housing crisis that we're in today, or the not necessarily a crisis anymore because we bailed out all the banks and all these billionaires that caused this problem, but unfortunately we left the taxpayers holding the bag, which is typically what Wall Street tends to do. They don't really give a crap about the typical Americans, and I hate to take that stance, but I mean, from what I can see, is that these guys knew what was going on and they did it anyway, so
kind
that they
like
can make
Enron
a buck.
Enron mentality,
absolutely. And we're talking about all of our financial institutions that work out of Wall Street, the big ones, Citibank. Lehman Brothers, now Lehman Brothers failed, but I mean, a lot of these guys that, again.
I bet you when they failed, the principals of the whole thing walked away with a lot of money.
Well, you're right. They did. And even Bank of America, there was another interesting story in here where it talked about these predatory lenders. They basically committed fraud. Out in like Washington D.C., not Washington D.C., but Washington State, back in the 90s, and they were doing this predatory lending, telling people that their 15-year mortgage was actually a 30-year mortgage, and that they were getting this certain interest rate, but it wasn't really this real interest rate. It was just pretty much a shell game with these guys, and this company made millions, if not billions, of dollars doing this crap to regular people, and. it went so far as the state attorney general did an investigation, but was ordered not to proceed because they felt that, you know, this is a needed, the subprime mortgage service is a needed service to a lot of lower income Americans in that state. And it basically was robbing them of their money. And this, basically what happened was the CEO, they ended up selling this business to somebody else. I can't remember who it was exactly. It says it in the book, but the CEO came out of this smelling like a rose, where he was the probably the huge advocate of stealing from these people in Washington State. He ended up making $100 million out of the deal. And now he's just sitting pretty, sitting on his $100 million bucks, and he should be sitting behind bars.
Well, yeah, but right with him, there should be a whole lot of politicians.
Oh, absolutely. The judge that told the attorney general, because it was a federal judge that told the attorney general, the state attorney general in Washington, to back off, he should be in jail. The attorney general should be in jail for standing there and taking, it's almost like an illegal order from another judge. I mean, he should have fought that tooth and nail. And, you know, all the politicians that played their part that, apply that political pressure to cover this up. And
I think it reaches all the way into the U.S. Congress, and there's
absolutely
a lot of people that, up there that were making, they were paving the way for all this, and I think they're the ones that are.
Well, it's interesting. When I ran for Congress, I was one of the interviews that I had on Fox Business was about this whole thing, and you know, I'm trying to think of who the narrator, whose show was on, but basically, he asked me, you know, what do I think about this? And, you know, I told him that I don't think anything's going to come of this because the people that were involved in this scheme are the ones that are investigating themselves. We need some third party outside of the both Wall Street and Washington to look at what actually happened and start just cracking skulls. Start, you know, let's arresting some of these. These criminals that have bilked taxpayers out of literally, I use literally right, billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars. These guys should go to jail, plain and simple.
Right, I agree. And I don't think it'll ever happen, but...
No, we'll see.
We need to do something by getting these lobbyists out of Washington.
Well, lobbyists, congressmen, I mean, I like the analogy of the barrel of rotten apples, is that we have a bunch of rotten apples up there. I mean, I think that barrel is full of rotten apples. If you take a nice shiny new apple, put it in the barrel of rotten apples, what happens is that apple rots right away. We just need to dump that barrel out, fill it with unrotten apples, with ripe apples, and keep emptying that bucket out every couple of years. That's why I think we need term limits too. But, I don't know. I don't think that anything's going to get done if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, which is what we're doing. We're really just, you know, we talked about money earlier and, you know, gosh, it's going to take a lot of money to win. But, you know, I think that we're forgetting that it's always a lesser of two evils argument that we always come down to is that we're going to go ahead and support this guy or this group, the Republicans, because we don't like the other group, which are the Democrats, you know, when they're really the same thing. We have to start waking up and seeing that that's really what's going on, and they're really pitting the American people against each other.
Well, when you're working even within the Republican Party or against the Republican Party, it goes to the lobbyists and their money, and who they're supporting will be the one who gets elected. 99 times out of 100, it's not anything. It's not. I don't know what the average guy can do about it.
Well, that's well said. It's a good point.
Let's look at your race. Do you think that Steven Pincher will get reelected?
Do I think he'll get reelected? Oh yeah, I do think he'll get reelected.
Yeah, has he done the things that he said that he would do? Did he resist? The Patriot Act and
no. He voted for the Patriot Act.
I mean, he campaigned and he did all these things, and he got elected. Following up on stuff. Well, damn that.
Well, come on now. The 8th District Tea Party Association or Coalition or whatever they call themselves, they wrote him a stern letter about that.
Yeah. Well, you know how those stern letters are.
Yeah. I mean, that something will become of that, right?
Yeah. I think they ought to send that through Podbox.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all 8 people on there.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But no, that's a good point. I do think that he's going to get reelected, but I mean, it's because he's got the, and again, I think he's just going to, he's got the money now. I mean, he's got access to a lot more money.
Oh, yeah.
And people see that he's going to play ball for the Republican Party, so they're
going to throw money. Where's that money coming from? Lobbyist groups.
Sure.
So, you know, that's where the evil is.
Okay.
That's where some of the evil is.
The evil. Well, hey, it looks like we're at the end of our show. Jim, thanks again. It's always a pleasure. Thank you, folks, for listening to Grassroots Radio with Don and Jim. We'll be back on air Wednesday from 5 to 6 on the Internet. And actually, just to recap, our Internet show airs Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then Saturdays in Memphis, we're on right now. I don't know how long it's going to last. We're on the FM dial, 87.7, because of the flood. That's WMPS The Point. Both Jim and I are trying this out on the terrestrial side to see how that works. But
yeah, we'll see how this works.
So far, so good. Well, we're kind of running into some glitches on Saturday, yeah, but tune in.
Actually, this radio working on the Internet thing is actually making us a little bit better. We actually outshine the radio station itself this last time.
That's a sad state where we're outshining that. But, hey, tune in if you can. If you're in the Memphis area, listen to us on 87.7 FM on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. That's Central Standard Time, and that's on WMPS The Point. You could always get our show by going to our website at www.grassrootsradioshow.com. We're also on Facebook, Grassroots Radio on Facebook, and it's the Don and Jim on Grassroots Radio.
It is.
It's just Grassroots Radio. Okay. I just couldn't get the domain name Grassroots Radio. That was already taken. So it's grassrootsradioshow.com. Anyhow, hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Again, have a great day.